You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You feel this nervousness on the phone there?
Sir, I've been trying to make an urgent phone call up there.
I don't think it's something I want to do on an overseas phone.
You gotta make some phone calls. Hang up the phone. Prank caller. Prank caller.
Oh, boy. Oh, if you'll excuse me, I've been having a little bit of a good day today. I had it all figured out, the plan for tomorrow's podcast. I was ready to rock and roll, and we're going to have to kick it into high gear, plan B. I've been ripping through tons and tons of receipts trying to find stuff. If you find anything, please send it to me. Video is preferred so I can play it on the podcast rather than reading. Obviously, I can go to any YouTube video anywhere, which I'm going to do because I'm shocked to see how insane YouTube comments are for Bears fans. It's anything to do with Fields. Every single comment is, they're not trading them, not trading them, not trading them. You know why? We're going to get to the calls. Let me just get this off my chest. You know why this is so awesome? Because I have made a single solitary claim for the entirety of Justin Fields' tenure in Chicago. I have made one claim, and that is that he's a bad quarterback. It's not the Bears. It's not the offensive coordinator. It's not the weapons. It's not the offensive line. There may have been some issues there. But that's not the reason Justin Fields is bad. The reason Justin Fields is bad is because Justin Fields is bad. Okay? Now, the best thing about this is that what this is vindication. No more discussion about how good Justin Fields is. Bears fans can't talk about it. The media that's been just dry humping this guy for years, talking about how he's the truth, he's him, he's all that stuff. This is vindication. Even for the people, and there's still a lot. Oh, no, it's the Bears. It's the Bears that did it. It's the Bears. Let's stop and think about this for a second. If the problem is the Bears and you can fix him and turn him into a great quarterback, don't you think somebody would have offered more than a sixth-round pick? Zero teams did. Nobody wanted him to be a starter. Justin Fields right now is the number two quarterback for Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is likely going to try to draft somebody. He could be the number three guy and get cut before the season starts. So I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear about the offensive line, the wide receivers, the offensive coordinator, nothing. Justin Fields is a bad quarterback. He's always been bad. And everybody that's been fighting with me for years on this is wrong. And I just got the proof. It just hit. A sixth-round pick that can become a fourth-round pick if he somehow plays 51%, the only reason that happens is if he doesn't get cut and everybody else gets hurt, because he's not going to win the starting job because he's a bad quarterback. Period. Okay. Everybody's excited. Everybody's having a good day. Too much is in the house. Brambo's here. Said Fields traded for a 2025 sixth-round pick that can go to a fourth due to playtime. LMAO. Andy Monday says, nothing. They got nothing for Fields. Torch anyone from last offseason who said he could be MVP. Andy, I cannot wait to see how they pivot, because the Fields cult has been the Fields cult all the way up until this point. Most Bears fans, I went through and I'm trying to find Bears creators, content creators who are still sitting there, and they're not. They're mostly pleading with the fans, too. They're just getting killed in their own comments. They're like, guys, I'm sorry, it's time to move on. And the comment section is just, so I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be waiting to see. I don't know if they're just going to go into hiding. I'm not sure. But I would love to see what is going to happen because reality just set in. And I don't know what happens to somebody when reality just sets in and you've been in a state of delusion for years. Too much, as I'm already reading that Justin Fields will take the starting job by the end of the season. Oh, geez. See, yeah, that's exactly right. He'll show you. He'll show you. You don't believe in him. He's going to show you. Okay. Yeah. Wait. By the way, who's got a better situation right now, the Bears or the Steelers? I mean, look at the weapons that the Bears have right now in the offensive line. Even last year. I'm sorry. I mean, you know, all hats off to Pickens and all that, but he had a better situation in Chicago. Garrett says, look like the Steelers got themselves a great running back for a sixth-round pick. That's about it. Cordell Stewart version 2. Matt Ramage in the house says, Bears don't know how to coach quarterbacks. They're absolute trash. That's true. It's also true that Justin Fields is trash. Andy Monday says, hopefully they do go into hiding. You, Ryan, will then have the stage to yourself. That's true. I will be standing alone, uncontested, just screaming into the darkness. Is anyone here willing to challenge me? Like some kind of freaking gladiator movie, except for nerds on social media. All right, let's get to the calls real quick. Feel free to keep popping in the comments. We'll come back to them. Oh, by the way, Packernet After Dark. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you and all that stuff. Let's get to Kyle from Madison.
Hey, Kyle again. I wanted to add one more thing here in regards to this Aaron Jones. I'm not going to say fiasco, but the heartbreak, right?
Sure.
Again, for the second consecutive offseason, Gutekunst gets the brass balls award because this guy, I mean, we talked about it this last offseason, like, going into this last year, he was willing to stomach the losing season because of where they were financially and because it was a growth year. And obviously the Packers fans were not going to be willing to stomach it. It went in a different direction than what it looked like it was going to go, and thank goodness for that, right? But Gutekunst was very much ready to just have that, you know, it was going to be a living year, and he was going to stomach it, and then... So after shipping Rodgers off last year now to make a really hard decision, probably the correct decision from a X's and O's and dollars and cents, you know, point of view, you know, it wasn't a decision of the heart. It was a decision of the checkbook and of just kind of age, you know. But, like, man, so many GMs would not have made that decision. Because of how much it would hurt the fans, you know? And I think this is, again, another example when you don't have an owner. I mean, that's the kind of decision where you go to, you know, what's his name in Woody Johnson in New York, you know, and he's fan favorite, people buying Jones jerseys, you know, if he was the owner, you know, and Gutekunst goes in and says, hey, we got to move on from Aaron Jones. I mean, that's the perfect example of where an owner screws things over because they might say, no way. He's putting butts in seats. He's selling jerseys. Well, that's great. That doesn't have anything to do with the success of our football team, you know? So, again, I just find Gutekunst to be extremely competent in this area, even if it hurts me sometimes with decisions.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around this they don't treat the players right thing. Why would Gutekunst not pay a player the amount of money that they're worth? And if you want Gutekunst to pay more than they're worth, then you suck at as being a GM, and you shouldn't be a GM. It's exactly what Kyle's talking about. You don't overpay for a guy just for sentimental value. That's not how you win games. That's just taking money from your salary cap and going, we'll just throw some away. No, we need that. You need to maximize your salary cap. That's how you win. You want to cram as much talent as you can. Well, how do you cram more talent than that team? If we all have the same cap, it should be the same. Well, because some people waste money and some people don't. And the people that waste their money don't end up winning, right? If you give a big contract to a player that busts, well, you've just wasted a bunch of your salary cap. Now you have less talent than some other team. You don't waste cap space. So again, I'm asking, why would Brian, let's say Brian Gutekunst felt that Aaron Jones was worth $8 million, but what, he offered six, what, to be a jerk? Just because he's a mean guy? Like, this is some weird conspiracy theory where he's what, he's the Grinch? Just because the fans wanted, I'm not going to pay you. What is the thought process here? He offered the exact amount of money that he felt it would be worth to the Green Bay Packers to keep him. He probably, on a personal level, would have loved to keep him, but you have to be, you have to understand the value, and that's probably largely Russ Ball. You come up to a valuation, right? You have to look at the player. It's an accounting. It's an actuarial table. You look at his age, his injury history, his production, all that stuff. You look forward into the future. You say, here's the value he's going to provide to us likely. What is that worth to us? It's worth this much. So you offer it to them. And then if they say no, then they say no. So what did he do that's so mean? He didn't kiss him long enough on the way out the door or what? Like, I don't get it. Well, they don't treat him right. You mean they didn't give him the contract that you want? You wanted him to just give more money. Just forget value and just give him whatever he wants. We just write blank checks or what? No idea what anybody's talking about. Jason Toppy says, Justin Fields was 0-10 against the Packers. That's the greatest thing ever, man. We talk a lot about, what's his name? Cutler. Cutler was a great Bears quarterback, but I tell you what, none better than that man right there on the screen. Justin Fields, what a legend. 0-10. We're just running psyops, man. We just got a bunch of plants that are all Packer fans. Trubisky was a Packer fan. Caleb Williams, by the way, is a Packer fan. He's going to be a plant. He's not going to win a single game against us. We're probably going to be paying him on the side under the table. You want to know why we can't win? We're shaving off some money over to Caleb somehow. Just Russ Ball doing magic accounting tricks. Garrett says, I thought for sure all the political yard signs in Chicago would convince polls to keep Fields. Yeah, right? Because GMs, everywhere else, GMs are just emotional and do whatever you're supposed to, you know, do all that stuff. But just in Green Bay, they're just cold, heartless people. Andy says, can we question the Steelers front office also? Not sure about their signing Russ if they want a good leader in the locker. I have no idea what the heck they're doing. I really don't. I mean, I understand you got Justin Fields for peanuts, so it's worth kind of taking a swing, and maybe he can play if somebody goes down, and maybe there's some magic here. I would almost be tempted to give a sixth for Fields, but, I mean, Russ is a bad decision. And then you bring Justin Fields in, and I can't help but feel like you're going to split the locker room because Fields seemingly is a likable guy, and nobody likes Russ, so Russ is going to start. Your players are probably going to want Fields. Russ is going to be bad. You're going to have people in the stands chanting for Fields to play. And this is after you just traded away your bust first-round pick. And are you going to draft another guy? Like, so does this mean you're not going to draft a guy? I don't even know. Like, you picked up two guys for dirt cheap, what, just on a flyer? I don't even know. I have no idea what's going on. Backup quarterback is what it is, says Chris. Mostly leftover Rodgers rhetoric combined with irrational fans that want to keep Jones for his entire career or Jordy or... And that's the thing. It's like, does anybody... That's a great point because it seems like the Packers are only mean to the players we like. You know what I mean? Like, were they mean to Billy Turner? No, because nobody liked Billy Turner. So it didn't matter, right? When Royce Newman gets cut, are they going to be mean? No, they're not. They're going to be very nice to Royce Newman. Because this is a fan manifestation. How dare you cut my player? How dare you do that? Nobody cares about the bad players when they leave. Apparently none of them are mistreated, ever. It's only the legends. And you know why? Because there's entitlement. Look what they've done for your franchise. How could you let them go? Oh, the horror of it all. Bro, it's a simple equation. You're worth $6 million. You want it? I'll give it to you. No, I'm going somewhere else. Dang, okay, have a good day. That's it. And if Jones wants to be pissed about that and be like, I can't believe they're going to let me go after all I did, let him be pissed. But I'm not going to look at Gutekunst like he's some kind of an ogre for just saying, this is what we think you're worth, because my job, as much as I love Aaron Jones, My job isn't to protect Aaron Jones at all cost. It's to do the absolute best possible thing that I can do for the Green Bay Packers. That's it. So I don't know. And I put a thing on social media, like, tell me, give me proof. There's all these assertions. The Packers do bad things. Give me the proof. Nobody. I had one guy say, well, Rodgers made a speech in 21 where he said Goot was bad. Like, okay, well, I explicitly said I don't care what players who are bitter think, but good try. If anyone knows how to bet on draft picks, QB, 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 YR, wide receiver. All right, fair enough. Garrett says, the next perfect scenario is Caleb Williams pulls an Eli Manning in Chicago. Oh, I would just die. Because now they're going to start. I've already seen at least one. Like, oh, yeah, you're all excited, huh? Well, now we get Caleb. I bet you're real. You're so scared. We're going to be the best. Like, they're already doing that stupid routine that they've been doing since forever. They did it with Trubisky, who was going to be king of the North. They did it with Fields all the way up until the very end, up until like an hour ago, Fields was going to be the next MVP for the Chicago Bears. Now it's Caleb Williams. If they fall in love with Caleb, and Caleb's like, yeah, no, I'm going to go somewhere else. I mean, it's not going to happen, but man, I would just die. I would absolutely die. And in a good way, if that's possible. Andy says, I've seen blame on Goody for cutting Jones over $1 million, but don't Jones also leave Green Bay for the Vikings? Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's $1 million. It's like, exactly. So, goes both ways, doesn't it? But again, it's not even that I'm faulting Jones. Jones is like, no, I'm worth more than that. Now, apparently he's not worth very much more than that, and he accepts that he's not worth very much more than that, but whatever. Yes, but it does go both ways. Fields only been in the league 4 years. How he's played us 10 times. Two playoff games I missed? I don't know. I don't know what the actual record is, but I know he hasn't beat the Packers. Brambo says Fields needs to play 51% of snaps to trigger a fourth rounder. Exactly, which means there needs to be a bunch of injuries. Donald K. Sorry, 3 years, so four playoffs somehow. I was told Fields was going to own the North, says Donald. John says, here's hoping Caleb busts. My wife says, men drama. Oh, it's funny because it's true. I've always said, and I don't think she's heard me say this, but it's funny. We think alike, apparently. I've always said that football is just soap opera for dudes. Oh, Chicago celebrates Vince Lombardi Day by turning their river green tomorrow. I love that. That's great. We should push that narrative. We should just be in their heads 24/7. You know what I mean? They're always talking about how, you know, what is that stupid saying? We're in your head. I don't know, but we should just live in their heads 24/7. Just constantly. Oh yeah, is that for Lombardi? Caleb Williams, a Packer fan. He is. He's got social media all over. He's a Packer fan. So. I think that's, again, if you want to be in their heads, just constantly get on. So I'm telling you, you don't have to do it, you know, if you want to make friends or whatever. But if you really want to just kick them while they're down, I guess we should just really just lambaste all this stuff. I'll reach out to Caleb. He won't come on the podcast, but I'll try it just to see if I can get him to come on and talk about how much he loves the Packers and grew up an Aaron Rodgers fan and all that stuff, modeled his game after Rodgers and would love to be a Packer, obviously, but he can't because we already have a future Hall of Famer in there and all that stuff. Oh, Garrett and my wife are fighting over me. That's adorable and creepy. Mick says Luke Tenuta will be the starting tackle for the Packers for more than three games this season. That's a frightening thought. Six times is the clarification. Whatever. It's Ofer. Can we agree it's Ofer? He's never won a game against the Packers. Could Caleb Williams demand a trade like Eli did? Is that still possible? It hasn't happened, so I'm guessing it's not a very likely... Plus the money. I mean, it's so much more money to stay. I mean, if you want to go down to number two, maybe he wants to go to the Patriots or something, that would be number three. I don't know that the money is that different. But still, do you want to shoot? Maybe you do. I was just thinking, like, I don't know if you want to, like, just give up millions of dollars, but that second contract's where you make your money. Although Chicago did load up. I mean, they've got DJ Moore, who's legit. They went out and got a guy. Granted, he's like 42 years old, but really, really talented wide receiver. I mean, they've made some strides. He's got enough guys to be able to make it work in Chicago. Hopefully not, but I'm just saying. Bears with four picks in the draft, more fodder. All Chicago knows how to do is ruin quarterbacks. I look forward to that. Gerard says, hi, Ryan, watching from Australia. Do you think Green Bay are done making free agent moves, or do you see us signing another cheaper safety or linebacker? Hey, man, thanks for watching. I appreciate that. What the heck time would it be in Australia? You're like on the other side of the world, so it's like, what, 7 a.m., something like that? But I do. I think the thing that was said is that they're kind of done for now, but they're going to let things cool down. You know, this is sort of the expensive period. Now you're going to get players that don't have any offers. Things are cooling, and they're going to be like, all right, you know, I'm on the verge of not having a job here, so maybe we drop that price, you know, everything must go sale kind of thing. And I think linebacker has to be one of the things, you know, because my whole thought process, and granted, if they're not there, they're not there. You can't just pay a guy to pay a guy. But my whole thought process on it is you have to go in the draft in such a way that something isn't dire. In other words, if we don't draft one of these, we're doomed. And I kind of feel like we're there with linebacker. And safety's kind of close. I mean, we're in a spot where Anthony Johnson might end up being a starting safety, and I don't know that he's really ready for that role. So, yeah, I think they're going to have to do something. It might be very minor, but just set a floor, you know what I mean? Just make sure we have bodies in there, and then go into the draft the best player available, and just kind of hope that things fall the way that they fall. Brendex says, best Packers podcast. I appreciate that. We're not getting any calls today, but I love it, man. If we can do comments, let's do comments. I'm all for it. Mr. Ramage says, I'm believing in my Packers. Go Pack, go, says Caleb Williams. Yep, was that one of his tweets? I bet it was. What did they get for Fields? So they got a sixth-round pick. It can become a fourth-round pick if he plays 51% of his snaps this year. So obviously this is not for this year's draft. It's for next year's, which really diminishes the value. I mean, we're talking about a next year's conditional fourth, I guess, sixth-round pick. But they're already saying that he is not going to be the starter. And obviously there's going to be a competition, and he could win that. But the Steelers also could draft a quarterback. So we'll see. Let's see. Final thing here. Jake had an excellent podcast covering the final options for free agents. Who's Jake? Jake Shavink? Possibly. I'll tell you what. Somehow it's been 22 minutes. Why don't we take a break? We will come back and listen to Nate, I don't think he swore in this. So congratulations, Nate. Thank you for that. Saving me a little bit of time. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Oh, you New York idiots. We told you. We told you. This is exactly what he does. Like you wanted to know who Aaron Rodgers was. Literally every person on this planet told you he's not a good person. He's not the kind of guy you want. And yet you took him anyway. And you know, you took him off our hands, so thanks for that. But you know, people can sit there and say, well, you don't know him. Well, if it walks like a sociopath, talks like a sociopath, and acts like a sociopath, what am I supposed to infer here? You think he's not going to take the White House thing? He craves attention. How are you going to get more attention when there's literally a camera everywhere you go? Like, you know, he's already that famous, but if he becomes vice president, he's going to have to do, like, you know, briefings constantly, and it's going to be things that the whole nation is watching. That is exactly what Aaron Rodgers wants. So good luck with it. I think he's going to, you know, he's going to take the power. He's going to take the power and the attention, wherever that may come from. And I think the vice presidential prospect is going to be a lot better than playing professional football, actually. So, yeah, you're stuck with him now. No takesy backsies.
You can't triple stamp a double stamp, Lloyd. Couple things. So it was interesting interacting with Jets fans because I never really had an opportunity to do it before. And it was to begin with, it was extremely cordial. And I saw a lot of Packer fans like, oh, these Jets fans, they hated each other. I had... Funny, anytime there's a spat with another fan base, they always come to me and they're like, what's up with this F and what's his name? And then they mention a prominent Packers person who I will not name. But for whatever reason, they whoever it is, Bears fans, Vikings fans, Jets fans, they hate the guy. But anyways, It started off cordial, and then I just started offering some opinions, and it was mostly about the offensive line. Like, guys, you got to fix this offensive line, because if you don't, you know, Rodgers is going to be in trouble. It's not going to be, oh, they lost that. Then they found me. You know, it's like I knew like one guy who's a podcaster. He also does a daily podcast, which is a pretty rare thing for a podcaster to do. So it's like we kind of, I don't want to say built a bond, but like we kind of got a whatever. What would you call it? It's kind of a bond, I guess. Anyways, so we were cool about it. And then like even he started coming in and it was all about like, you know, the offensive line is good and this guy's great. And while he was injured and this is going to be okay. And then we brought in this guy and then they go get Billy Turner. And I'm like, bro, I mean, Billy Turner, man, that's pretty rough. And they're like, well, he's just going to be a backup. And don't you think he's a good backup? And I'm like, I mean, I guess, yeah, that's fine. I don't care, whatever. I mean, he came there for Aaron Rodgers, but whatever. And of course the offensive line falls apart. But I mean, the point is, I agree with you where it's like, we just tried to tell you stuff, man. Like, I don't have an issue with Jets fans. I don't know you. I don't know your team. Obviously, I don't like the Jets because it's always been a boring team and a boring game to watch. It was a brief period of my life where, you know, they've had some good defenses and stuff. But, like, I'm not just trolling for the sake of trolling. I'm just throwing some stuff out there, and they lost their mind. Like, they genuinely thought their offensive line was pretty good. And all the way through camp, like, they didn't even know who their offensive line was. I'm like, that's a problem, guys. Like, if you don't even know who's playing where and if guys are playing, I don't think you have a very good offensive line. And, of course, Rodgers gets injured, and same with Rodgers. Like, oh, no, you guys just treated him wrong. That's the problem. Okay, well, the organization seems to be doing fine over here, and yours is in shambles. So, I mean, could be a coincidence, I guess. And as far as the VP thing, it looks like somebody else got selected, not that it super matters. And like I said, my thought was he's not going to do it this year because he is the quarterback of the New York Jets. But I wonder if this kind of piqued his interest. Now, maybe he's either been pursuing it, and that's kind of why he's been attaching himself to a political figure, or maybe that just happened naturally. And so then the, you know, kind of like sparked something like, oh, maybe I will go that route. What's up, Brinley? What do you need? You want to watch something? I'm doing a podcast. Okay, I will try to do a podcast and turn on a show for you. How about that? See if I'm that talented of a dad. Garrett says, Steelers acquired Fields to make up for trading Claypool to the Bears as goodwill gesture. Yeah, right? It's just it was a pity trade. Brinley, I'm struggling here. I can't see what I'm doing. There we go, Netflix. All right, Venom Slash. It's a pretty wild, wild name there. You got a channel or something? Yes, you want? Okay. Bears still suck. Garrett Stritzel says Plaxico Burress thinks the Steelers shot themselves in the foot with this trade. I mean, nobody won this trade. There's no winners. It's just like, I mean, the Steelers gave up capital for nothing. The Bears didn't acquire anything. I don't know. Venom says, no matter what they do, the Bears didn't set Justin Fields up for success. That is true. Fields is also bad, but the Bears did a bad job. Let's do a call so I can apparently put on a show for my daughter. She has decided.
Hey, Ryan. Steve up in Alaska. Just kind of hanging out, getting ready to get some prep work done today. I like to get to that time of season where I got to start doing some prep work for the summer. Spend a few hours cooking, so I'm ready to go when the time comes.
Nice.
But watching some sports stuff is Pat McAfee. I'm not a huge fan, but it's what I got right now to watch, so I was watching it. And I happened to catch an interesting little thing that they were talking about, some yakety-snackety about the Kennedy wanting Aaron Rodgers to run for them as vice president, potentially, which is absolutely hilarious. It just made me crack up. The shenanigans and the nonsense and all the distractions just do not end around that guy, and I am so glad.
Well, and that was kind of a larger point I wanted to make, too. It's like, it doesn't even have to be that Rodgers is a bad guy. It's just by virtue of who he is. He's a large, massive figure. He's sort of like Taylor Swift in a way, like in a lesser way, and I know people are, you know, whatever. Taylor Swift isn't doing anything wrong. She's just going to a football game, but it just turns into this massive thing, and it upsets everybody, and it just kind of like, it has such a massive gravitational pull. So the fact of the matter is, when he goes places, it's like, oh yeah, I'm bringing my entourage, which includes like political figures. I've got rumors about possibly being VP, which he probably never even entertained. But again, it's by virtue of who he is. He's so massive. He's doing Joe Rogan show and he's doing this. And when he says things, it gets blown up. That's just what happens when you bring in Aaron Rodgers. So again, it doesn't even have to be, and I'm not saying he did everything perfect, but it doesn't even have to be that he did anything wrong. It's just by virtue of who he is, when you bring him in, those problems are going to follow, period. There's really nothing that's going to change that.
We don't have to be putting up with it anymore, because it would drive me nuts if that would happen more than here. More importantly, and to the point, though, I was wanting to call in to mention my appreciation for Gutten, what he's done so far with free agency. Super stoked about the pickup. I just had his name in my head too. Jacobs, as a running back. I just think that's great. He's a talented player. I know he had a down year last year, but I put a lot of that on a disgruntled player. He yes. didn't want to be where he was. And as most of us know, if you're not happy with where you're working, you probably don't work too well. I think he'll be really happy here. I think he'll enjoy what he's got, and he's got a good opportunity to make a lot of money and potentially get some real playoff depth into him, because you know, I know he wasn't getting any playoff shots with the Raiders. Maybe even a shot at the Super Bowl. Love the pickup as a safe for that we got for safety. I think you did a lot to take whole areas where we had a lot of questions. And solidified those places for us for some years to come. So now we're going into this draft this year and even next year. Well, we won't worry about next year, but at least this year we can pick players that are definitely the best talents and not have to really worry about position. Sad to see Aaron Jones go. Little irked that he went to the Vikings, but this is the NFC North's habit. We let a player go. Somebody else in the North picks him up. It happens all the time. Everybody up here is trying to pick up our leftovers. So, but good luck for Jones. I hope he has a so-so season, or at least a good season, except for when he plays us. Other than that, y'all take it easy and have a good one. Go Pack.
Yeah, appreciate the call, man. And I still got to get you my address so you can ship out some fudge and maybe throw some meat in the box or something. I don't know. It'd probably be bad by the time it gets here, but I'll freaking eat it. I don't care. Real quick pause. If you are on X right now, if you could please like, subscribe, do that whole thing. Same with fine folks over on the YouTubes. Take a second to like the stream and subscribe if you would. Be greatly appreciated. But yeah, man, I mean, it sucks for Aaron Jones. Look, the thing that really sucks about this time is that it creates this kind of tension. And it's like, I wish this didn't happen. And obviously, it's more because it's the Vikings, but it would have been kind of anywhere. So it's like you kind of want to just get through this period and then forget about it and pretend it didn't happen and then like reconcile. It's the same with Rodgers, right? There's all this tension and all this anger and hostility and everything toward Rodgers. And it's like it'll be nice for him to just kind of go out there and then come back and be embraced and move on, just like it was with Favre. Now, is Rodgers going to go away? Probably not. He's going to be in the spotlight, I think, a lot more than Favre, for example, but whatever. I'm just excited to get back to that because they're deserving of that, man. Think about how much time we've spent cheering for them and how many great memories. Some of those Hail Marys from Rodgers, man, some of the greatest moments I've ever had watching a football game. That first one against the Lions, I'm so pained. Alicia, if you're still watching, I need you to try to find that video. I've looked and looked on my phone, on wherever, but just a video of me just, I like flipped over the chair, just lost it because it was such an unbelievable moment. I mean, you think about against Dallas, some of those throws he made on the sideline to Cook, just unbelievable, man, these comebacks and stuff. And anyways, Aaron Jones is right there. I mean, even last year was such a good year. I mean, he was injured and missed some time, but man, did he have some special, special plays, especially against Dallas, man. That guy's unstoppable. He's a part of history. You know, the reason we do this channel is because we're all just a bunch of Packers freaks, and we're excited, and we've had good teams, and it's because of guys like Rodgers and Aaron Jones and stuff like that. So just go do it. Don't make too much noise. And like you said, have an okay season. Like, I don't want you to bust your leg and have a bad season or whatever. You know, just lose to the Packers, play fine. You know, get a little golf clap from Vikings fans, like, thanks for trying, thanks for stopping by, whatever. Head out, come back and say, once a Packer, always a Packer. Love the team, love this, love that. I'm excited for that time. This year's going to be a little rough. And, I don't know. It's going to be interesting going up against the Vikings, that's for sure. Venom says he does not have a channel. Wish he did. Like my channel. Keep up the good work. Thank you, dude. What would Venom Slash's channel be about? I feel like it's one of those things. Probably not, but it has this sort of dark vibe to it. I kind of feel like it would be one of those channels that's like, you know, disturbing facts, you know? Like, I see those on social media all the time, and I'm sure there's YouTube videos and stuff about it, too. Or it's just like this, you know, this guy went hiking in the woods and disappeared for 4 days and whatever, you know. I don't know. Venom, you do whatever you want. It's just the first thing that came to my mind. But you should, man. Reach out. I'll help you. Not that I'm very good at this, but I like playing around with YouTube video stuff. Just nobody watches it. Spartan King. Will Lions keep the NFC North title in 2024? That's kind of...
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Bro, I'm so tired of that. This thing keeps kicking me off, man. And Matt Ramage just gave me $4.99. Can I have your autograph? Appreciate that, Matt. I don't know why. I don't know if that's StreamYard or if it's my computer that's been doing that and booting me here. Let me pull up Justin Fields so we can stare at that again instead of my face. Anyways, I guess that's telling me to hurry up and take our second break. But where are we at? Oh, so generally, I give respect to the team that won it. My thought, though, is, look, we ended the season better than the Lions. Everybody knew that. The Lions even knew that. Their players were saying, we don't want to play the Packers. They're too hot right now. Well, we got to see what happens when we come into it. Obviously, I'm going to be respectful and say they're a good team, and I guess we can say they're the team to beat. But if we pick up where we left off, I mean, the Packers are the better team. There's no doubt about that. Vikes trade concerns me. Moving up to snag who? Yeah, I saw that, and it was like, dang it. Because my whole thing is like, look, they're out of range. They're not going to be able to do anything. And they may not be done trading. I remember somebody else did that. They did like a double trade. They traded. It was closer to the draft, but they traded up. And then they traded up again. And then they packaged those two to go up. So, yeah, I just... we all know that's what they're doing. I mean, I guess the good news is they're probably not going to get one of the top three. So probably like J.J. McCarthy. Maybe that works. Maybe that doesn't. I don't know. I feel like all teams might be good this year. Yes, any given Sunday, a team can beat another team, but I feel like every team will be competitive. Fair enough. And then Matt, again, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate that. And sure, I guess probably cost me $4.99 to send it to you. So I guess we'll call it even. All right, let's take our final break. We'll come back and hear from, once again, Kyle and Madison.
Hey,
What's up, Kyle from Madison?
What's up?
So much. This is so how the NFL goes, right? It's like a desert of stuff to talk about, and then there's too much stuff to talk about to fit into one day, right? And then the season starts, and it's just way too much stuff, right? It's peaks and valleys. I'm glad we're in the peak right now. This is super fun. I have a question for you. As I'm kind of looking into doing some more mock drafts now, post first couple of days of the free agency, it seems apparent that because of the money that these guards are getting out there is so crazy, man. I mean, the Runyon deal, holy crap. And then, I can't remember his name. Dude that went to, was it Panthers for like $100 million?
Yeah, that was a big
ridiculous
one.
Just some ridiculous guards out there. It's insane, but don't you think that very much is going to move interior offensive linemen, into the first round?
That's a good point.
Like, let me ask you, what impact is that going to have on the first round or two in the draft, in your opinion? Because, it seems clear to me, and any team with some, modicum of fiscal responsibility, probably if they need an interior offensive line person, they are going to be building that in the draft just because of how cost prohibitive the guard market is. So, I don't know. I'm just kind of curious how you think that's going to maybe affect the draft in general and how you think that's going to affect the Packers draft. All right, bud.
Well, it's funny because that's not the direction I thought you were going to go, because it's really weird that guards all of a sudden are expensive. It's also really weird that running backs are now getting paid. And I know there's ebbs and flows, but this is like a year later. How do we go from, screw running backs, we're not paying them, to we really need to get this going in a year? I mean, I think that the answer is relatively evident. It could just be a coincidence or whatever. But of course I can turn it up. I'm sure everybody wants to listen to your show. I can't think of words today. What somebody postulated was that it has to do with a lot of this too high stuff. And Aaron Rodgers talked about it and everybody talked about it. The idea is you play lighter up front, you play softer up front to kind of counter this aerial assault that's been going on. And then the counter to that is we're going to get bigger up front, we're going to get our running backs, and we're going to smash you in the mouth because you're not going to be able to handle that playing so much too high. So then we start sort of switch that. And so now you are seeing a switch. You're seeing more interior offensive line. You're seeing more running back. You're seeing more middle field close, right? Safeties that got to come up and help and run support. That's becoming a more predominant thing. I already showed you Vic Fangio, and maybe this is a big part of it. You look at last year, every Vic Fangio defense failed. Like the best Vic Fangio defense was like 16th, 17th or something. And I think that was Fangio's. So I just feel like maybe we're going that way. But to your point, I hadn't even considered it. That is a good point. If there's a strong desire for interior offensive line, and if that theory is correct, then the Packers are ascribing to that because they just paid a running back a good amount of money. They have to know that interior offensive line is important. I mean, this is the best sell job anyone's done for me as far as the Packers drafting interior offensive line possibly in the first round. If that is the value, and if the Packers are ascribing to that, and they have a need at interior offensive line, and you just paid a running back and you want to be able to go somewhere, and you don't have a guard and you have a center that's kind of iffy, entirely, these guys could actually shoot up. I mean, maybe we see Jackson Powers-Johnson go prior to pick 20, and Graham Barton's going possibly before the Packers go. So you might be looking at Zach Frazier, even Cooper Beebe, as options for the Packers if they want to go that way. You know, it's not unusual for the Packers to pick here anyways. But, if these guys start shooting up the boards just because the value is higher than it has been in the past, I'm sure a lot of these guys being down here has to do with positional value to begin with. But if the positional value is higher than what we're accustomed to, that's entirely possible. And again, that was the best sales pitch for the Packers getting in the tier, because I just haven't been able to get there. I mean, I know it's possible. It's the same with linebackers. They'll never go linebacker, and then they did. But yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They're starting to attack what is NFL defenses with just smash you in the mouth. And they, what do they get? They get this big bruiser of a running back that's hard to bring down, bulk up the, and I'm all for it, man. You know, my stupid tired saying, offenses only do two things, run and pass, and you can't do either without an offensive line. So I'm all in on that. Jason says Jacobs will have 2,000 rushing yards and 15 touchdowns and the rushing title behind this offensive line this year. Just my prediction. I love that. And we're going to do it with Zach Frazier. I think Frazier is the guy I really liked, if I'm not mistaken. I think Frazier was my dude. Did running backs get paid looking at percent of cap, though? I haven't actually looked at that, but I just know that there was a big uproar. I think it was a year ago or whatever, where it's just like nobody wanted them, period. So I don't exactly know what the percentages are. I mean, I know it's not as high as it has been because some running backs have been paid more, for example, than Josh Jacobs got, and this was like 5-6 years ago. But it seems like we're kind of on the upswing again. And maybe it's just a market correction. You know what I mean? Maybe it's just we were a little too low for too long, and now we got to kind of bounce back. I don't know. Can I have your autograph for free? If you catch me somewhere, sure. I'm not going to send you one. Just not, you know, in my basement or anything. Don't be weird about it. I don't see Goot using all 11 picks. I think he either trades up or trades picks for a player. That could be. I mean, last year he traded back, and we ended up with a bunch more picks. So I don't know, man. I think it's just kind of the same as always. You just go where the value is. If there's a guy up there that you really like, go get him. If there's not, or if there's like five or six guys, see if you can go back a couple spots, and you can still grab one and then get some extra picks. And when we do another mock draft, I was going to do one for tomorrow, but with this Justin Fields thing, got to change up the plans. Again, if you're seeing anything that is video or audio so I can play it on the podcast, please send it to me. This is going to take a lot of work to go out and find all these clips to kind of, you know, laugh at the Bears, and it's already getting kind of late. So if you find something, go ahead and send it to me. All right, what else we got here? Let's go to Jersey Mike.
Hey, Ryan, it's Jersey Mike.
What's up?
I wanted to ask what you think is going to happen when it comes to guys picking jersey numbers.
It's a big topic of discussion.
Xavier McKinney, he was number 29. Is Douglas's number? Is that number available?
I got a ladybug.
Is he gonna still retain 29? And Josh Jacobs, he's number 8. I don't know who's number 8, but I'm wondering if he's gonna.
You even can. Am I back now? Can you hear me? Are we good? It's giving me warnings up there that my internet is starting to fall apart. I'm closing tabs and everything, trying to come back. Joyce, thank you so much for the $10. Just got off CHGO. I need to go check what they're doing. And they can't believe Justin went so low because they still believe he's a starting quarterback and blame the market. And they had a poll which 70% Bears fans did not like it. Oh, that's so good. I appreciate that. So I was trying to look up the jersey numbers because that's already been settled, but I went over there, I'm opening new tabs, typing stuff, and my internet's like, oh, it's too much, I can't handle it. So not going there. We'll just leave it alone. Hey, by the way, we're at 499 viewers. If you got like somebody sitting next to you, tell them to pop on the show, will you? Mike says, I was looking forward to this after tonight, after the Fields news. Yeah, I'm excited to dig into that. There we go, 500. If anybody knows the numbers, I don't get into that so much. So I saw somebody posted it and I just kind of rolled my eyes. Like, I don't freaking care. But he says Sean Clifford was eight. Yeah. Is eight what Josh Jacobs is now? Because I saw somebody made a comment about how it's like our first single digit running back, something like that. I don't really know. I don't care. These things aren't interesting to me. Jacobs is eight. Clifford switched to six. Okay. Fair enough. Did he throw Clifford like $50 or something? Do we know about McKinney? Donald says, my kid is watching with me, so you're over 500. That's awesome, Donald. You and your kid, we are stable at 500, too. It's just sitting there. Yeah, Clifford went to six. Does anybody know about McKinney? We got a McKinney report or no? Yeah, I don't have any thoughts, predictions about the numbers. I don't really think about it. It is pretty cool to see them with their numbers. Like, oh, yeah, that's pretty nice, but I don't put a lot of thought into it. McKinney is 29. All right. That's 29. I feel like I don't get into the numbers. And then when you put, what is it about? Is this like some other weird like guy thing where you're looking at like, I don't know. 29 seems kind of sissy to me a little bit. I'm just saying like 29 is 29 going to, I don't know. Rasul. Yeah, I guess Rasul. All right. Fair enough. I was expecting a more like number than 29, but that's fine. It's no big deal. All right, let's do, I should get going on this Justin Fields thing. How much time we got? I think since we cracked 500, we'll keep going. We'll do Kyle's, and if we can get to 550, we'll do Kyle's other one. If we can get to 600, maybe we'll just keep going. We'll see how this goes.
Ryan, what's up, Kyle? What's up, Madison? So I'm pissed off.
Exactly. 29 is sus. I think I've
reached the stage of grieving where I'm just pissed about everything with Aaron Jones.
Sorry.
I don't remember which step that is. Hopefully it's toward the end. But one thing I want to say here, and this, oh man, it's really hurt me today. So I was listening to Tom Silverstein with the Journal Sentinel on their podcast. I believe it was yesterday they recorded it, maybe. So after Jones had signed with the Vikings and the Spoon, which is his nickname. Man, he was making all kinds of sense. And remember, was it 2 weeks ago when one of his tweets came out and it was about Aaron Jones being released in some way, you know, and there was a lot of blowback to it that he had to kind of defend. And he was, he was right about that. Well, he was kind of going through kind of how this went in his understanding. And he's a curmudgeon, but I absolutely trust his sources. He has almost never been incorrect.
He's solid
when he cites a source. So he had said that, you know, 2 weeks ago when he made that tweet, the Packers and Jones's people all thought this was going to work. And then about 2 weeks ago, it kind of became evident, like, wow, there's a real chance this might not. And so the Packers moved on, like, tried to figure out, all right, what is our plan then if we don't have Jones back here? That's when they figured out they're going to have a real shot at Jacobs. Silverstein said last Friday, I don't know how you do this with tampering, but they pretty much knew they were probably going to get Jacobs. And that they still wanted Jones to come back with Jacobs. That, like, so the plan actually for a few days was to have both these backs there. And so I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at both parties. Like, for something that amazing, maybe we could pay the guy an extra million or two. But then I thought that Spoon made an awesome point, okay? And the point was, like, yes, if you're Aaron Jones, you took a pay cut last year, you're pissed off about it, you don't want to do it again, you're going to make $2 million more with the Vikings. But what Spoon's point was, like, A, you're going to have the best backfield, you know, in the league. And B, if you just come back to the Packers, like, you could be like a Leroy Butler type of guy where you're just able to get advertisements and walk around the state like you're the president of Wisconsin. And I think that's true with Jones. So I think it was a little bit cheap by the Packers and short-sighted by Jones. And I thought Spoon made another great point. He said, look, if the Packers win the Super Bowl this year, which they might do, it's going to be kind of heartbreaking to see Jones like not part of something he helped build. And I agree with that, man. So I'm pissed off today. Anyway, talk to you later.
We just hit exactly 550 by the end of that call, so we'll do his next call. Yeah, I mean, look, it's kind of just a... It would have been cool. And listen, the Packers did try to get it done, but they tried to get it done at the value that they thought it made sense. And there is a line to draw somewhere, and maybe they even went over their line a little bit. But there's a point at which it's like, okay, it's cool, but eh, you know? And so, I mean, and listen, I'm sure a lot of fans, I'm not going to single you out, but I'm guessing a lot of fans would have paid a lot to Jones to stay just to get that duo, and we would have overpaid. You know, you can't have $25 million tied up in running backs or whatever, you know? And it's a one-year proposition. Also, that money can go elsewhere. And the Packers are looking to the future more so than anything. Of course, we got a legit shot at winning a Super Bowl, so you have to consider that. But how big of a factor is it when you already have a legit number one running back to try to get another legit number one? I mean, it was 2022. The number one running back was Josh Jacobs. The number two was Aaron Jones, you know? And yes, that'd be pretty cool to have, but I don't know. It's not that big of a deal to me. If this was like a long, if Aaron Jones was 26, granted you couldn't afford it at that point, but it's like, then it's like, dang man, we could have had both, but it's just kind of a 1 year. I don't know. I guess I'm over it is my point. GR7070 says, meh, running backs are not like wide receivers. Having two good ones on the field doesn't have anywhere close to the same impact. Right, especially since they're not usually on the field at the same time. So, all right. Kyle, number two.
Hey, Kyle again. Yeah, I just want to finish my point there. Like Silverstein was saying, you know, if the Packers win the Super Bowl, we'll obviously all be super happy and not really care. But it is... It would have been nice for Jones to be there, too, with them. And the thing I don't understand is, so at first I was kind of making peace with this because I was led to understand, and I think it's still true, that it wasn't just the contract that, you know, $7 million, or what was it, $4 million base, $1 million incentives versus $6 million base, $1 million incentive the Vikings offered, whatever it is, something like that. But I was also led to believe, correctly, I think that we're talking about futures money also, and that in cutting him, the Packers are off the hook completely this year with anything Aaron Jones related as far as dead cap. Whereas if they even sign him for one more year, I believe they pushed it two more years. You need to check me on that. But so I was kind of thinking, all right, they probably offered him this crap deal, knowing he'd say no, so that they could do this kind of passive aggressive move on thing. And they went with a younger guy, yada, yada. I was like, okay, I can make peace with that. That's unfortunate. That's them the breaks in the business, right? But to find out that actually for a few days, the plan was like, hey, let's have both these guys for a year. We'll be willing to, we'll take the negative of the future money. We'll give them a deal for whatever, $5 million or whatever. That's the thing that's killing me, man. Cause I can make sense of this if the Packers aren't, if it's not just the $2 million. If it's the future money, they don't want to push anything out. They got Love's contract coming. And then in 2 years, they got, if Watson pops, you know, he's only on a 4 year, remember, because he's second. He doesn't have that fifth year. There's some guys they might have to pay. So I'm sure they're trying to clear the way. And to find out that the Packers actually, at least according to Silverstein, for a few days, we're okay with the two of them in the backfield. And then for that to not work, now I'm right back. I'm worse off than I was when he was cut, because that just makes me sick. Because it seems just totally senseless, you know, like, especially because they were willing to take the negative of that future's money to have him and Jacob on the field. And we've seen this succession plan at different, especially quarterback at different positions, work really well for the Packers. And I think they were going to try and do it again. And this was my hope for them at that position. Then you draft a guy. You got three guys there this year. Jones retires, moves on, who knows after that, but man, to know that they were okay eating that futures money in a less ideal way, just to keep both of them, and then to have Jones still leave, man, I'm just sick about it. I'm just sick about it, because that would have just been next level freaking elite.
Well, let me see if I can try to put your mind at ease. I think Matt Ramage made a really good point. He says, neither Jacobs or Jones want to be the two in that 1-2 punch. I think rather than saying, like, well, they considered having these two elite running backs, and then we're just like, eh, screw it, I don't feel like being awesome today. Think about it in terms of they made the decision that Josh Jacobs is our guy. He's our guy. He's our future. He is our number one running back. And they offered Jones a contract to be the number two for a year. Jones doesn't like that. He obviously doesn't like the contract. He doesn't like the thought of it, though, either. You know, again, regardless of the contract, they made the decision to move on and let Jacobs be our new feature back with Jones as sort of a change of pace guy. I'm sure that in and of itself is not something he's happy about. So at this point, yeah, both sides are ready to squabble over $1 million because Jones is like, well, this is already disrespectful. And so I want the maximum, and beyond that, I want to be the guy. So he goes to Minnesota, not just for the money, but to be the guy. He is the guy there. I mean, granted, they're going to have to find somebody that can spell him a little bit, but there's not going to be any doubt who the top dog is at running back. In Green Bay, he'd be the number two guy. And for that reason, too, the Packers are not going to bend because it's like, listen, for a backup running back, and I know that sounds disgusting, but that's what it is. For a backup running back that has injury issues and is 30 years old, how much are we going to pay? Like, look, we want you back, man, but this is the best I can do. And if you can't take that, you can't take that. So I guess that would be maybe a slightly different way to think about it. Donald says it's wild to think we're already back to Super Bowl expectations. It is crazy, man. Yes, Pack Rats. Yes, beats quarterbacks go to Steelers. Packs quarterbacks go to Jets. I don't make the rule. Oh, Bears. Yeah, that's true. I don't know what the Bears quarterbacks all go in there for. That's all assuming Spoon is correct on that reporter opinion. He's been pretty good with stuff as far as I can see anyways. All right, let's keep humming, man. We'll do another one. Let's see if we can get, well, I'm sure we will, but we'll do Jersey Mike and see what the numbers look like. I just want to see how far we can push this thing.
Hey, it's Jersey Mike. We just got some good news.
All right.
AJ Dillon is staying in Green Bay. Yes. Oh, man. I know. You just got your hopes up for a running back, and I don't know what the deal looks like. I didn't see if they announced that yet, but yes, AJ Dillon is back. I'm mainly excited for the fact that I was concerned that both the Green Bay Packers jerseys I have, the guys like Kevin King and AJ Dillon. That's who.
We have to pause the podcast for a minute. Packer Bob, I am not wearing eyeliner. Thank you very much. Crying out loud. What are you, what? Okay, go ahead.
I like the last name of King. My wife got it for me. I'm very thankful. She thought it was cool. So I like my King jersey. I'll forever like Kevin King. He's just a guy. You know, injury set him back. He could have been something, but
a contender.
But yeah, AJ Dillon, man, I thought he was doing pretty good. And then last season, you know, he's injured a bunch, and he breaks his thumb when he finally starts getting real, real good. It was just unfortunate, and I'm excited for him to be back. So, I don't know. Are we not happy with Emmanuel Wilson? Are we still going to be looking for another running back? I have to imagine we're still looking for another running back. Or maybe Goots saw all these guys and was just like, eh, I'll be able to get one, but I'm not so sure they're ready for the job. Then I'm looking mainly at guys like a Bucky Irving. For some reason, it seems like this class of running back is not so good in pass protection. I've heard a lot of complaints about it. I haven't really been able to find film about running backs in pass protection. I've tried just watching, you know, offense versus defense, blank offense versus blank defense, but, you know, I haven't been able to go back for all the running backs and watch that. Anyway, what are you feeling about this? I'm feeling pretty good. Just adds more confusion. So, anyway, go back, go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. Like I said, everybody's got a price. I mean, that's not technically true. Some players, please get off my team. You couldn't pay me to keep you, but Dylan's not that guy. Dylan, it's not so bad that you wouldn't say that. And so there is a place and there is a price, and you know, the price was extremely low for Dylan. I'm happy about it. I mean, we got two big backs that I think can absolutely. My wife said you're better at this than I am, so I'm single now, says Matt Ramage. I thought your wife hated me. What happened to that? No, I'm good with it. We got two big backs, and I think, listen, let's load up on offensive line. We don't need to have the tackle debate. Maybe we get tackles, maybe we don't. There's probably all going to be tackles, and then we'll kick them inside. That's what we do anyways. But let's load up that offensive line and just send them. We'll just send the boys downhill all day long. Jacobs and Dylan just freaking tanking them down there. We just cracked 700, so we're going to keep going. If we get to 750, we'll do this all night. I got 24 more calls. We'll sit here till midnight. All right? Kyle from Madison.
Hey, Kyle from Madison. So I've been very critical of bringing back A.J. Dillon because I don't think it ultimately is in keeping with the mission, and the mission is to upgrade every position. And I think when A.J. had the keys last year to the kingdom for several weeks, and we just kind of, it was okay. It wasn't great. And I just feel like we've seen what we're going to see out of AJ. However, if you're getting him at a vet minimum on a prove it deal, I'm not opposed to that. And I've been very critical. I mean, if it is a prove it deal 1 year thing, it looks like, I don't hate that. At all, actually. But I would hope it. I mean, it does free up, I guess, a little bit in keeping with what Gutekunst usually does. It frees him up in the draft to kind of move how he wants. He knows what Dylan is, and I think Dylan's going to probably try to prove he can be more than that. But interesting move. I guess I thought Dylan was going to go for more. Maybe not. Anyway, talk to you.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. Like, what are you worth? You know, like if it had been reported the Packers are offering something this low and then he ended up leaving, it would have been like, oh, the Packers are horrible. It's like, look, man, you know, and I agree. I would have thought he was worth more too, but it's just sort of a matter of here is what we think your value is right now based on predominantly what you've been able to do up to this point, especially last year. Would love it if you can come in and tear things up and we end up giving you more money. But this is it. And the bottom line is, that low offer from the Packers was the best Dylan could get. Or he just, you know, maybe a little more somewhere else, but decided he liked Green Bay and liked, you know, obviously likes the area and everything. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's surprising. And I think that's where sometimes things with Aaron Jones or Jordy Nelson, people get upset because it's like, that's so low. Like, that's way too low for a guy like that. And it's like, there's nothing else out there. Even though that might seem surprising. Chad says our backfield is not going to be fun to tackle. The Morak says smash that like button. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, take a minute while you're here. If you are on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the little bell notification so you don't miss it. For those couple on Facebook, I'm sure you're already following, but do whatever you do on there. And then for all of you on X, please do me a favor, like this, retweet this, even though we're just about done. I'm stalling a little bit to see if we can get to 750. Otherwise, I'm done. And please, you know, subscribe to my thing, whatever. Follow me. That's what it's called. I can't keep up with all the terminology. Well, we're at 730. I think we pushed it hard enough. We'll do this again. Maybe that'll be the thing for Packernet After Dark. We'll go as long as the views keep going up, and then I'm calling it. But I appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. And we got plenty of calls, so hopefully we'll be able to do this again tomorrow. I will talk to you then. Have a good one. Hey, Matt Ramage, you sneaky son of a gun. Send Ryan money. Yeah, I'm gonna end the stream slowly. Really slowly. If anybody wants to send some. They got to get something set up on Twitter over there. They got 33 people on YouTube that have sent like $30 today. Twitter has got 700 people, and they're just, well, they're mostly bots. They're Twitter Elon bots. Anyways, all right, you guys have a good night. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.